Well, good morning, friends. Good to be on with you. Good to see you this morning. I don't know who needed this today. As a result, maybe of what you were needed from God, Satan was like, nope, they're not getting it today. Just some of the strangest things happened in trying to come on live today. The computer just said, no, I don't want to see your microphone. And then after about 10 minutes and six restarts and everything else, it said, all right, I'll see the microphone, but good luck getting that camera to come on. So I was just going to say, you know what? we won't go live today. And I thought, you know what? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep fighting through and getting this until it is on and ready. So anyway, for whoever you are out there that was in demand in the spirit for this today, that the enemy was saying, no, we push through and we are here. So good to be with you this morning. Happy Friday. Welcome to Good Morning Live, even if it's at 8:15 instead of 8. But hopefully you are having a good day, a good start to your day. As we say, every day with Jesus is a good day. We're going to wrap up a series today that we've been on for a week, but really 2 weeks. This is kind of piggybacking off of what we have talked about. And hopefully you are ending this series more free than you've ever been. And not that we've arrived and not that we have it all mapped out, but prayerfully you are gaining some tools to help you start digging your way out of needing. Good morning, Cheryl. She says, good morning. It was me. I was demanding in the spirit. Glad to be here with y'all. Well, good, Cheryl. I'm glad we pressed through for nobody else but for you. I hope that you are feeling better, sister. I continue to pray for you and stand in agreement. So we have been, learning how to break this addiction for approval and resist that urge to compromise who we are or how God's created us or the giftings that he's put in us to appease somebody else. And as I've been saying this whole way, I don't pretend to think that this is a few episode teaching and then we're all fixed up, right? No, but this especially if it's something that you've dealt with for years and maybe generationally it's been in your family. But hopefully from this series, you have gained some tools that will help you start this journey and keep digging away, capturing those moments where it seems like, you're falling back into old habits or you want to compromise or it's just easier to keep the peace or whatever it looks like to back up. Oh, good. Sure. I'm glad you're feeling better. To back up and, be less than God's created you to be. We're going to resist that, and we're going to keep using these tools and these principles to help us dig out of that cycle, to be all that God's called us to be unashamedly. Good morning, Denise. Good to see you. Unashamedly be all who God has called us to be. So in this second half, if you will, in learning how to break this addiction of approval, we started looking at the grace of God because I just felt like, man, after week one, I said, we just can't end there because what I have discovered is most of the time we aren't just dealing with this when it comes to our earthly relationships. We're dealing with this when it comes to our heavenly relationships and often how we have encountered our earthly parents, how we view our earthly parents, the relationship we have with our earthly parents often sets the stage, if you will, of how we view God and how we interact with God and how we perceive God and how we encounter and interact with God in our faith. So I knew that if we're struggling in this realm, look, Facebook's telling me that I'm live. Great. That's wonderful to know. Let me mute that. if we're struggling in this in our earthly realm, then we're probably struggling with it, our relationship with the Lord, and we're striving in our relationship with God, and we're doing whatever it is that we can do to earn God's approval and his acceptance and, you know, that will always leave you striving. It will always leave you empty. It will always leave you feeling like you have not done enough to gain God's approval. And as I've been saying all week, what grace has done is it's thrown a grenade into that mentality or that approval, because what God did, he did before we could do anything to earn any of it. So today, I just want to close out this series by reminding us that we are fully accepted by grace, and you don't have to prove anything. Here's the thing about grace, is grace doesn't just save you, it settles you. I dare to say that one of the biggest burdens people carry is the need to prove themselves to God, to others, and sometimes even to yourself. You know, man, we could dive into this, but sometimes you know you better than most people know you, right? And sometimes we have so, how do I word this? Have so disappointed ourselves that we have very little confidence in ourselves. So we try to prove even to ourselves, but listen, God is wanting to take that burden off of you. He is wanting to set you free. We don't have to prove ourselves to God, to others, or even to ourselves. But grace removes that burden. And when you understand that I'm already accepted, I can stop striving. And my prayer of this whole series is that when we finally stop striving, I dare to say we can finally start living. Striving eats up so much of your energy. Worrying about what others think and their responses, and trying to appease a God who is so much greater than we are. It's impossible, right? And so what we do is we waste our time and our mental capacity and our energy and our efforts either appeasing people or trying to appease God. And at the end of the day, we have no energy left to really do what it is that we're on this earth to do. And that's why this is so important that we learn this and we break this, because if we don't, we will never fulfill the plan and the call of God. So I say when we learn to break this, to walk out from under this, to realize that grace has removed that burden, that we are accepted by our audience of one. And I say that that's when we can really start living to the fullness of, I'm doing what God's called me to do, and I'm being who God's called me to be, and I'm not going to worry about what other people think or say or their opinions of me, because that's their opinion and that's their problem. It has nothing to do with me. And I'm going to stop striving to try to get God to accept me, because when Jesus went to the cross, he already did all of that. So when all of that has stopped, it has now made room for me to embrace the people who are in my life, to live unashamedly, to use my mental energy and emotional capacity to further the kingdom of God and to be all that I've been called to be and not be burdened by the opinions and weights of other people. And just as a reminder, let me read again Ephesians 1:6 that reminds us we are already approved. It is to the praise of the glory of his grace, by his grace, where he has made us accepted in the beloved. By his grace, he has made us accepted in the beloved. Again, here's our main truth, that you are not trying to be accepted. You already are. God's grace God's acceptance is not based on your performance, but based on Jesus's perfection. The beloved is Jesus and you're in him, which means God sees you as he sees Christ. God sees you as he sees Christ. You know, the Bible says that, you know, when we sin and fall short, that when we come to him in repentance and we We claim the blood of Jesus and we ask forgiveness through the finished work of the cross. The Bible says that our sins are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. See, I told you this week, that the strategy of the enemy is to get it is to break your confidence with God. Because now you're approaching your relationship with God in light of what you've done and your failure. And I said that, and I shouldn't have said that. And all of that's filtering through your mind. And, you know, you have this mentality that when God is looking at you, he's also filtering all of that through his mind and saying, oh, well, I would love to call you my beloved, but I saw what you did. Of course he saw what you did, but when you have come and repented and asked for forgiveness from him, the Bible says it is thrown in the sea of forgetfulness, never to, this is the most powerful verse of scripture, never to be remembered against you again. What does that mean? It means God does not remember it. He does not consider it. It is not a part of the equation. So when you're going to God and saying, well, God, you can't use me. Look at what I've done. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I look at you and I see the blood of my son applied to your life. I see you as righteous. I see you as holy. I see you as my beloved. What you have done has been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Grace doesn't wait for your behavior to line up before calling you loved, before calling you his beloved. So at some point, you know, I think of David, who sinned, you know, committed adultery, had a man murdered, you know, it affected his life. It cost him his son. And there's a scripture that says he's in the temple and he's covered in ashes and he ripped his garments. And there's a most powerful scripture that says that he got up, changed his garments, and left the temple. And I think that's so powerful, because what most of us tend to do is we have what I call a martyrdom spirit. Well, I deserve the punishment that's been on me. I deserve this. It's what I did after all. I deserve, you know, and we feel good almost in receiving that punishment, because again, society has taught us that that's what we are. It's what we deserve. And yet David experienced some hard things in his life as a result of his sin, because there are some natural things that sometimes are set in motion, right? As a result of what we do. But before God, there was that moment where David said, you know what, how long? I remember when in the scripture, when God rejected Saul, the Lord God said to the prophet Samuel, he said, how long will you mourn over what I have rejected? And I say that to us today is how long will you stay rehearsing the past, your past mistakes, your past failures, your family issues, the things that you have come through? How long will you mourn over those things? Yes, is there a time for repentance? 100%. Yes, is there a time to come into the temple and, you know, put ashes on and rend your clothes and ask God for forgiveness? 100%. But we have to follow up like David did. And there comes a time where you have to walk out of that temple with your head held high that says, you know what? The blood of Jesus was enough. That thing has now been dealt with. It's in my past. It's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. And I refuse to live under the shame of what was or what I did or where I've been. That is not who I am anymore. Why? Because grace has redeemed me. Stop allowing other people to look at your past, to look at where you were, to look at who you were, and try to fit you into a mold of what they perceive that now you are and you should be. We break that in the name of Jesus. How long will you mourn over what was? Today is your permission slip to get up, shake the dust, change your garments, and move forward in knowing that God has forgiven you, his grace is applied to you, his mercy is tangible for you, and all of that is thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. God does not wait until we get it together. He came for us when we were at our worst. He forgave us when we were at our worst. He went to the cross before we could do anything to earn it. So we make that decision today. Because religion makes us chase God's approval, but grace says it's already yours. I told you yesterday, you know, I would never send, you know, one of my kids out of the house, like disown them because of action. And listen, a child doesn't earn a place at the table by behaving. They're accepted at the table because of relationship, because they are a son, because they are a daughter, not because of performance. Galatians 1:10, for I am now seeking the approval of man or of God. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, and again, we started this whole thing with this scripture, I would not be a servant of Christ. We are not striving for man's approval. I will not be a prisoner of man's opinions. If you don't understand grace, you will always be trying. How do I work? If you don't understand grace, you're trying to be who people need instead of who God made you to be. As we said in the beginning, I'm not everybody's Holy Spirit. I can't be my kid's Holy Spirit. And, you know, some of us have that savior complex. That I will be whatever you need, I'll be it. You need this, I'll be it. The grace of God is sufficient, the Bible says, for me, and the grace of God is sufficient for them, right? So obviously, if you know, the Lord's asked me to do something, I'm going to do it, but I can't take on a savior complex. I can't take on this mentality and this thought process where it's, I'll do whatever it is that you need me to do. I'll be whoever it is you need me to be. No, I'll be who God made me to be. And I'll bless you if I can bless you, and I'll help you if I can help you. But just as God's grace is sufficient for me, sometimes we have to learn to let other people experience God's grace on their own and find God to be the provider on their own. To let people, sometimes they, you know, we sometimes have encountered God in the most significant ways when we've been at rock bottom. And sometimes that's where God's trying to bring somebody to so that they can turn around and respond and learn that he is their savior. He is the one and the only. And when we're always trying to rush in and be who they need us to be, we never allow God to be who he wants to reveal himself to them as. So what do we have to do? We have to rest. And knowing that God's grace is not just sufficient for us, it's sufficient for them as well. I know many people struggle in this area because of rejection, because of shame, because of insecurity. But grace has affirmed your identity. You are a child of God. You are fully loved. You are fully safe. Amen. I think of the prodigal son. And when the father ran to him, he affirmed him and he reinstated him, not because of merit, not because he deserved it, not because, you know, he had anything left. He got it because of mercy. So I just feel this essence today in closing out this series of now entering into the rest of learning who you are. Now entering into the rest of receiving God's grace. When striving comes off of you, when performance-based religion comes off of you, when striving for people's approval and their opinions come off of you, there's a rest. And I don't know, I just feel that today. It's just like, just rest. You're not proving yourself to anybody. God's already accepted you. He's already graced you. He's already called you his beloved. Just enter in to that rest. I'm accepted. I don't perform for the love of God. I live from the love of God. I don't perform so that God would love me more. He loves me. Therefore, I live out of that love. I don't strive for God's acceptance. Why? I already have it. I don't have to chase for people's approval. Grace has settled my identity. I know who I am and I know whose I am. I know my identity. I'm fixed on it. I'm enough, and not because of my effort, but because of the grace of God. I know this has been a lot of review today, but I just want to remind us where we have been on this journey and remind you that if this is still something that you can identify as a struggle, as one of those root things that you need to break through in your life. Moving on from here, don't just walk away from this. Ask the Holy Spirit to say, every day, help me dive deeper into this book and find out who I am. Help me, out of relationship with the Holy Spirit, discover who I am and who I'm created to be. Help me know my identity. You know, listen, when you know who you are and who you were created to be, most of us take on, we wear so many other hats because we're not sure in the hat that God's called us to wear. So, well, maybe I'll do this and then that'll bring me identity, and I'll be this and that'll bring me identity. And in wearing so many hats, we're juggling so many things. And what it is doing, it's diluting the real call and purpose of God on our life. Do you see that? Is that the enemy can get us doing so many things and wearing so many hats and being so many different things to so many different people and never really being rooted in the identity of who and what Christ has called us to be and who we are. And what begins to happen is over time, the real call and purpose of our life becomes diluted. And we can't be the minister. We can't be the husband or the wife. We can't be the parent. Why? Because we're also trying to please the, you know, parent-teacher moms and trying to be who they want us to be. And we're running over here and, you know, our boss is trying to ask us to do extra things and we're trying to climb that corporate ladder and we're doing that. And, you know, our friends have this certain thing that they want us to be and how to respond to them and do. And before we know it, we can never really lean into what God has called us to be. And sometimes in this season, like I just referenced parenting, you know, in different seasons, when your kids are different ages, your ministry is going to look different. Your relationship's going to look different. Your friends group are going to look different. Why? Because in a season, God might say, listen, in this season, I need you to lean in. I need you to give it all in this season to this thing. And that means I got to lean in. I got to know who I am. I got to know my assignment. I got to know the call that's on me in this season. And it might mean that, you know what? Other things have to change in my life. But when I'm able to process that, why? Because through the Holy Spirit, I know where I am. I know what season I'm walking in. I know my assignment in this season. Then when somebody says, hey, you know, I got this thing. It's a great opportunity. Hey, that sounds, I can respond and say, that's a great opportunity, but that's just not where I am in this season. Sorry. Blessings on you. Let me pray for what your endeavors. But in this season, I can't, it's just not where I am right now. It's not what God's called me to. Get okay, get comfortable in saying no to other people. Maybe that's our assignment leaving this live today. Say no to somebody about something. Get comfortable. And listen, when people take your no personally, and they're personally offended because you said no, you know what that means? It means they have addiction addiction approval. Why? Because they're taking your no as a personal attack of their identity, right? Which means your acceptance, your yes or no, is validating them. So again, you can't have that savior complex. You can't take that on your shoulders. You can't carry the weight of that. And you can help that soften the blow that say, hey, I love you. I value what you're doing. I believe that God is in that. But for me right now in this season, it's just not something that I can do. You know, and beyond that, I can't carry that. So this is your permission slip, right? To say no, to lean in, figure out what God's called you to, figure out what this season with the Lord is supposed to look like. Figure out what's your priority. When was the last time, you know, we mentally talk about things and, you know, where we fail to make a plan. That's why the Bible says, write the vision. I was sharing on Wednesday night through our teaching that, you know, the Lord gave me a strategic summer of certain things. I knew, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying that this is a pivotal summer for my oldest, who's going to turn 10. And there are just some things that I need to lean in, conversations that we need to have, some time that has to be spent there. And you know, in my mind, it's like, okay, well, yeah, we'll do this and this. But if your summers get anything like mine, between regular family vacations and all the other stuff that we have going on, before you know it, the kids are going back to school and I haven't really done what I purpose to do in my heart. And I know my assignment right now this summer is I have to prioritize what God said to do with my oldest, is to spend this extra time, have these moments, have these experiences. And I was convicted of the Lord last night, laying in bed thinking, yeah, we have that vacation, then we're going up to that ministry event, and then I'll squeeze that in somewhere. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to write the date. I want you to figure out. I want you to mark it. I want you to make it solid. Why? Because sometimes when we fail to sit down and write the vision and identify in this season, in this summer, this is what's most important right now. This is what God is leaning in towards. Why everything else will come in. Every other distraction will happen. And if we don't have some type of written down vision that we can go back to and say, all right, but this is priority, then I'm not going to know what to say no to. Like, for instance, we have an above ground pool in our yard, and it has one of those attached decks, and we desperately want to build a full deck around the pool. And that was a part of our plan for this summer. And then our neighbors, who we absolutely love, are moving, and you know, we have such a great relationship with them, and our kids play with their kids, and you know, in our yards, and it's just great, right? And but you know, sometimes when you have new people then moving in, you're just not sure how that relationship will be, and our kids are so used to being over that we just said to ourselves, well, we want to put up a fence just because if we wait till after they move in, if it's not great relationship, you know, it's just awkward then to say, hey, I love you, but we want to divide our yard. So we just thought, you know, we want to put this fence in. Well, you know, there's only so many dollars to go around. So it's like, is it a fence or is it a deck? And we've been so indecisive. And, you know, so what my point isn't you can't do everything, right? You have to outline what your priorities are and figure out what's most important. Is it a deck? Is it a fence? We also wanted to finish painting some of the front of the house, but then I have all these grandiose ideas, right? But sometimes you have to just narrow it down and you have to say, if I try to do everything, I will end up doing nothing. So Holy Spirit, and I don't got to figure out the next 20 years. Holy Spirit, take your summer. This summer, we're leaning into these months. What is essential for me? Is it building my marriage? Is it spending that extra time with my children? Is it a season I have to lean into my career, my job? There are seasons that God says, listen, I'm trying to elevate you. I'm trying to promote you. I'm trying to do something. I need you to really lean in this season into your job, into furthering education. You know, we have Valor Christian College as a cohort here. And, you know, many of us have signed up to be a part of that. Listen, that fall semester is coming. And if that's something that the Lord spoke to you, don't just keep pushing it off and saying, well, I get there. Because what will happen is that fall semester will come around. The paperwork's not done. You know, financial aid applications haven't been submitted, and then it's just too much and it's too late and I'll do it next year. Sometimes you got to know this is a season that God's saying, lean into that education, lean into growing who you are, lean into your job, lean into your kids. You just have to know. You have to know. And once you know, you'll be set and solid on this season. This is what I'm called to do. And if I can help somebody else out, great. If I can do, but if it starts to impede on the vision that God said to me from the front, then I have to learn to say no. And again, every time we learn to say no, I think we dig ourselves out a little bit of that approval addiction. Because when we are saying yes to what God has for us, man, we're on an incredible journey and we're getting somewhere. So I know today's been a lot of review, but I just, you know, it's been a solid 2 weeks of these teachings. And I just wanted to make sure that we're ending this series of teachings on understanding what it is that Christ has for us and understanding our identity and understanding that we don't need to prove ourselves to anyone else. We live for an audience of one. We live for who God says that we are. And sometimes we try to say, you know, look at the long-term vision and say, well, I'm called to be a CEO. All right. But what's God saying right now in your journey to get there? He doesn't always give us the 50 steps to you starting your own business, right? He'll open a little door here and a little door there and see if will we be faithful to walk through? Will we be faithful with our time, with our efforts, with our deeds? Like for me, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts me, and this is the last thing I'll say, but, you know, I'm a task-oriented person, so I feel accomplished when I leave the office, and I've done tangible things. I've, you know, fixed that, and that's done, and we put that together, and I, you know, there's something tangible, and the Holy Spirit has to convict me all the time. Listen, I need you to study. I need you to get in that book, and to me, sometimes studying and being in a book doesn't feel tangible fixes. But I've learned that if I don't study, if I don't get in the book, if I don't read, that I'm ministering out of my flesh or I'm ministering out of the leftovers of what was yesterday and not the fresh manna, you know, for the people today. So I have to learn. I've learned that, you know what? Even though I'm a task-oriented person, I have to learn, where do I need to lean in today? Where do I need to lean in? I need to study. I need to get in the prayer closet. I need to get with God. I need to hear heaven. So never lean to your own understanding, lean to his, lean onto his understanding. Well, thank you for being with me today. I want to remind you this Sunday is Baptism Sunday here at Hope City Church. So if you are wanting to be baptized, if you have never made that public declaration, you might have been saved for 30 years, but you've never taken that step. The Bible talks about it being the next step in our faith, in our journey of faith. Jesus himself was baptized. If you have not done that, or you have a young person in your life who has received Christ and they haven't taken that step, then I submit to you that this Sunday is a great opportunity. If you go to our website, hopecity.tv, you can register there for baptisms. Obviously, sometimes people just jump in last minute on Sundays, and that's all right too. But we like to have as much prepared for you as possible. So if you want to take that step, make that decision to publicly announce that you are a follower of Jesus, this Sunday is a great Sunday to do that. And, you know, if you know people who you say, I don't know if they've ever been baptized, well, then this Sunday, let them know that that's happening this Sunday. And we're looking forward to that. So I pray you have an amazing weekend. Have a great weekend. Take some time, pray about what this summer is to look like for you and write some vision. Ask God, what am I to lean in on and focus in on? And I believe that he will speak to you. And again, as I said earlier, the fall semester for Valor Christian College is coming up. If you have not applied, at least take that first step and apply throughout your application and get that journey going. And I believe it'll bless your life. So amen. So Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for not just today, but this whole 2 weeks of teaching on breaking approval addiction and living in the grace of God, that Father, you will continue to help us walk in every day the reality that we live for you and no one else. And despite what man's opinions may be, Father, we rest in the fact that grace has already marked us accepted and approved and qualified. And we give you praise for it now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with me. Be mightily blessed. I pray that I see you this weekend at Hope City Church. If not, I see you back here Monday, 8 a.m., unless that computer starts acting crazy again, and then it'll be like 8:15, but like it was today. But I'll see you next Monday right here on Good Morning Live. Be blessed.